Good evening. Please open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 9. To read again from verse 35. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he may send forth laborers into his harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to thee through that new and living way. Lord, we rejoice in our Lord Jesus Christ. We praise thee in the Holy of Holies, Lord, seated with thee in the heavenlies through the great salvation that you have provided in the only Redeemer. Lord, we thank thee for all that thou hast done, especially sending forth thy Son and thy Holy Spirit to apply this great redemption to our hearts, to sanctify us, to turn us from dead works to serve the living and true God. And Father, we pray that thou wouldst guide us in our words this evening and in the meditations of our hearts together, Father, as we meditate upon thy holy word and thy command, that thou wouldst fill us with zeal to deliver ourselves back to thee. Lord, all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Lord, we desire simply to return our lives, our days, our being to thee. For we know, Lord, first of all, that you can be trusted completely, and secondly, that you are the one that can do what needs to be done in our hearts and lives, and through us what needs to be done in this world according to your will. Lord, we pray that thy kingdom would come, that thy will would be done. And Lord, we pray that you would move us in that direction as we consider these words of our Lord and Savior, and that you would guide us in this evening, and that there would be eternal results. We ask all these things in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Thinking of eternal results, as the Lord just led me to mention, you know, how often do we hear sermons and messages, and then where do they go? You know, what have they done? Is it impacting our lives in the week or the next week or the next year? So really, we preachers need to pray, and we're seeking the Lord that the messages would transform the hearers, and that we would all who are gathered here today, and even those gathered through the internet, would be transformed and made more like Jesus and fulfilling more the will of God in our lives. Well, we all, I think, know prayer is a duty. We have a responsibility as well as a privilege and a duty to pray. So that is not new. He says, pray ye, our Lord says here. But in how many places has the Lord told you what to pray for? In the Gospels, how many times did he say to his disciples and give them specifics of what to pray for. I can think of a few, and you can too, I'm sure. Pray ye that ye enter not into temptation, something that we need to pray. The Lord's Prayer, the various petitions of the Lord's Prayer. But as far as specifics, there's only a few places here and there in the Gospels that we have laid out for us something that God commands us to pray for, and this is one of them. He gives us a specific matter, something very specific, he gives to his disciples and to us that we should be praying and that we need to pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. What is the greatest necessity of this world? If we meditate on that for a little while, I'm sure we could come up with many, many ideas, many thoughts, many things. We all need water. We all need, or desire, we would desire perhaps peace on earth. Well, he will give that, right? When Jesus comes again, there will be peace on earth. But the greatest need now, as God is preparing for the transition when we will be transitioned to the heavenly state, are the spiritual needs of all of us, of all the people in this world, of all those of us who are living. The greatest necessities of the world are the spiritual necessities. Even if someone is sick and dying, what's their greatest necessity? Their need is the salvation of their souls. If they don't know the Lord as their Savior, right? They need to be converted and come to Christ. They need to hear the gospel. They need to have someone speak the gospel to them on the telephone or in a letter or visiting in the hospital. These are the great necessities. We need peace with God, first and foremost. Each of us as individual souls that will last for eternity, either in heaven or in hell. So peace with God is the most important thing for anyone. Salvation by Christ, because the only salvation is through Christ. And sanctification. We need to be converted. If we're not converted yet, and we need to be further sanctified and prepared for whatever God has in the future and for heaven, be conformed more and more to the image of God, of Christ, as we know is God's plan. Well, the world has tremendous necessity of what Jesus tells us here that we need to pray for. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How are souls converted? How do people have their spiritual necessities met? It is through the word of God. And the word needs the voice. Great was the company that published it. And we, the church, are the ones to be that voice, to maintain the ministry of the gospel, and also to be speaking to others about their need of our Lord and Jesus Christ and the truth of the gospel. The world has tremendous necessity of laborers prepared, especially, to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The world has tremendous necessity of laborers prepared to preach the gospel. And therefore, Jesus says, pray that he will send them forth. And I want to put to you this evening that is where we have to start. When we think of missions, when we think of the need of your own community, when you think of your neighbors, we all need to start praying or be praying or continue praying that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest and even send us, send you to speak to your neighbor or to communicate with others or to do whatever it is that he would have you to do. If we look in the context, in verse 35 here, in the context, we see, not only in front of our text, but also afterwards, we see Jesus concentrating on teaching and preaching. Teaching and preaching. Look at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages doing what? Teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It mentioned that before the healing, and we know all the miracles he did, and what a wonder that was, that the Messiah was present and doing such wonderful works. But first mentioned by the Spirit and by Matthew here are that he was teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Look with me at chapter 11. In chapter 10, for the most part, what we have is all one discourse to the disciples. After he appoints his apostles and he sends them forth, he gives them a discourse. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But then when we get to chapter 11, when he finishes this discourse, we read, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples," what did he do? He departed thence. He departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. We shouldn't let people disparage preachers. Now, we know there's a lot of preachers that don't preach faithfully God's word like they should. But for whatever reason. But Jesus was a preacher. Jesus was a teacher. And he calls men to be preachers and teachers of his word. And we need to pray that he would do so. Now, we know he's going to do it according to his perfect will, but he wants us to pray and ask him to do it. We used to sing in our in New Jersey a great hymn, "Give of your best to the master." And I remember one of those lines was, "Give of your sons to the master." Parents, we need to think about that, no? Giving of our sons to be future preachers or grandsons, praying for them and the parents that they might give their sons for this great purpose. And also you have sons of the church, like your pastor, who's been given by the church to the ministry of the gospel, given by the school in some sense. Going on in our text now in verse 36, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion." The multitudes have great need of the gospel of salvation. If we consider the needs of this world, we see so many evils, so many things that are distressing in the political realm and just about every realm, when we consider the United States, when we consider the world. But they have great need of the salvation of Christ, of God, the only true salvation, because that's the only thing that's really going to change people from the inside out, right? That's the solution for the problems of this world, ultimately. Of course, we need all the scripture, and we need people that fear the Lord to be raised up to implement and implement God's law and implement God's will in life. Our gospel should transform us so that we now are walking in the ways of the Lord. And that should influence every area of our life, every aspect of our lives. But first, we need to be saved, because we cannot do these things in our own strength. And that's true, of course, of the people in Chile just as much as the people here and in every country in the world. The multitudes have great need of the gospel of salvation. And when he saw the multitudes around him, remember, he was teaching and preaching, but he saw the multitudes. I think certainly George Whitefield, who preached to great numbers and went to many places preaching, must have had something similar, being moved with compassion to preach the gospel to the multitudes. But Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, knowing their need. And it says, "Because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." So this was Jesus' reaction to seeing what were the problems around him, to seeing the people, to seeing the multitudes of people without Christ, without what they needed, which was the Word of God to sanctify them for their sanctification. And the Scripture uses two words here. One, fainted, which the original has the idea of being weary. The people were weary. When you don't see the solutions, when you don't have problems and you don't have God's light and word to guide you, then you get weary with all the problems. Perhaps a lot of people are losing hope and so on under the circumstances. Our hope is Jesus. But what about all those people that don't have Jesus, don't know Jesus, haven't heard the true gospel, or maybe they heard but they didn't grasp it and understand it, because sometimes people need to sit under the preaching of the word for a time. And like the rock, God uses his word as a hammer to break and open the heart to the word. We need to realize and know that they need to sit under the preaching of the word. Therefore, we should be inviting them in. We sing in our devotions, and of course, you probably sing it here too. Bring them in, right? We need to bring them in to where they will hear the word of God, and go out to them as well. As you go, preach the gospel to every creature. And we send forth missionaries to preach the gospel everywhere. They were weary, and they were scattered abroad. And the original word, it's one word for what's translated scattered abroad here. They were cast down, is the idea. They were thrown down, like people confused, as sheep having no shepherd, no guide. Well, here was the great shepherd of the sheep. Here was our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is my shepherd, and he is the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. However, the people were as sheep having no shepherd. His own people, Israel, because they weren't sufficiently aware of the good news. They perhaps enjoyed the miracles, right? And like we see in John chapter 6, they were thirsting after the multitude of bread and the multiplying of the loaves and fishes. And they wanted to make him king, but they weren't understanding the gospel. They needed the word to be preached to them. And we can imagine the weariness of Jesus himself as he constantly worked and walked and engaged in this. And he saw the needs of the multitudes. And even though he was God, God had given him a 100% human body and soul as well. So he was God 100% divine and human 100%. But he knew it was God's plan to use others as well. He even says to his disciples, doesn't he, in one place, "And ye shall do greater works than these shall you do, as you ask, because I go to the Father. And as you ask for things in my name," that is, for my sake, for my glory, "I'm going to send forth the Holy Spirit, and you're going to do marvelous things." And so he uses us when we give ourselves to him. He uses our children when we give our children to him. He uses his people, and that's his intention. We also, and hymns keep coming to mind, but we also used to sing, of course, we sing in Spanish now, so I don't get to sing a lot of these things. But let the lower lights be burning, right? You all are the lower lights. We all are the lower lights that need to be burning and making the gospel known so that the ships won't be shipwrecked, so that they can be guided safely in the way of life and come to know Christ as their Savior and be truly converted. Well, they were as sheep having no shepherd because they needed to hear the voice of the shepherd. So many gathered around our Lord Jesus Christ that sometimes, you remember the case where he couldn't even get out the door hardly, and people couldn't get in the door. So there were multitudes, and God's plan was to raise up others to preach as well, which he continues to do, and we are to pray for. You need to recognize, first of all, the greatness of the need. And that's why I've been talking about that somewhat up to this point. Right? You need to recognize the greatness of the need of your neighbors. Your city's need. It's not simply to be straightened out politically, right? It's salvation. It's the word of God. That of the neighboring cities. The need of your country. Of the countries around you. And of the entire world. We need to recognize the needs. Because that's where it starts. Jesus looking out and seeing the multitudes. We need to see the multitudes and recognize the problems that they have. Mainly the problem of ignorance, not knowing the gospel, not knowing God's word. Making decisions without the wisdom of God. Not turning to God. So many things that perhaps we take for granted as Christians, or having been exposed to the gospel so long in our lives. We need to recognize the greatness of the need for the gospel and for our Lord Jesus Christ among the people. He was then moved with compassion upon them. And we need to be moved with compassion as we consider the needs, as we consider the situation. That moves us to compassion. When these things are hidden from our eyes and we don't see the sufferings of our neighbors, we don't see the sufferings of the people in the hospital, we don't see the sufferings of things that are not reported, then there isn't that motion to compassion for those people that are suffering. So we need to spend some time thinking about what's going on around us and in the world. And Jesus was moved with compassion, and we should be too, for the multitudes that are lost without the gospel and without Christ. What to do, we can ask. Now, of course, we're coming to you entirely from a Christian, biblical, reformed perspective and understanding of just how we sang this morning. You know, God draws his elect in sweetly, but he uses the preaching of the gospel. What to do? Jesus was moved with compassion, we read in verse 36. And look at verse 37. Just the first words. Then saith he. Where did it begin? The solution began with his word. His speaking to them. And, well, we can say talk is cheap, you know, and so on, and think that words aren't much. But when it comes to the preaching of the word, it is work. And it is God's tool, right? He pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So he sends forth the word. He raises up laborers. He capacitates them. That might be coming from a Spanish word. But he gives the gifts, and he uses the preaching of the gospel to sanctify his people for the glory of heaven. He could have saved us and taken us away right away, sanctified us in a moment, glorified us, and we'd all be there already. But it's God's pleasure to have saved us, and part of the sanctification process is that he makes us like Christ, who was a preacher, and we become lovers of souls, lovers of others, lovers of our neighbors, even lovers of our enemies, as he makes us more like Jesus, and we learn to be used of him for the good of others. When we ask what to do, well, we need to follow his example. Christ speaks to his disciples. The first thing he does, at least in the order of our text here, when he's moved with compassion and he sees the need, is he speaks. He says something. He makes the need known. What God put in his, what he as God had in his heart now, with his vision. Of course, there's great mystery in how all this works in the in the union of the divine nature with the human nature of Christ, but he sees the need, and his heart is moved with compassion, and he speaks to his disciples. He prepares them for what happens in the next chapter when he sends them forth. He makes the need known to them. So he says unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. There's a tremendous harvest to be had, but the laborers are few. Here's a problem. Tremendous harvest, but there's great need of laborers. And don't we have the same today? Billions of people on this planet. Tremendous need spiritually. And we have the solution in the gospel. We have the solution in the Word of God. The first thing he does is he makes the need known to his disciples. And we need to meditate and think about the need. Thirdly, I'd like us to think that on this, that Christ is the Lord of the solution. Christ is the Lord of the solution. As we look at verse 37, the rest of it, verse 38, excuse me. What he tells them, in the light of the harvest being plenteous and the laborers few, he commands them. He instructs them to pray the Lord of the harvest. Now the Lord is, the meaning of Lord is ruler. It comes the translation of Adonai in the Old Testament. He is the ruler, and he is in charge of the harvest. It is his harvest. We are his people, his church, and everything belongs to him, and he has total control of it all. As we know, he is the sovereign God. He raises up the laborers, he sends us forth, he fills us with his Holy Spirit, and he does the work in the hearts of the people, like he opened up the heart of Lydia. Still, he calls us to send forth, to pray that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, and to pray to him, to the one who is the ruler, who is in total control of all this world. He came to save, and he will save. Neither is he worried, nor we who know God's word, that there are going to be people missing from heaven. We know the elect shall be saved. But how? How will the elect be brought into the kingdom of Christ? Through the church saying, come, as we heard this morning, preaching and calling to the world, come to Christ, speaking to them of the true and living Christ, who died on the cross and rose again from the dead, who is reigning at the right hand of God today, and who has given us all his holy word to guide us and sanctify us and make us more like him. He came to save, and he will save. As Paul quotes Joel and the Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How will he cause them to call upon the name of the Lord? By sending laborers into his harvest. As he says, Paul, in Romans 10 as well, how then shall they call on him? Everybody who calls on him will be saved. But how will they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So all these things are necessary. We don't want preachers. We don't want, and we don't need, certainly, more preachers that are not sent by Christ. What we need is preachers that are sent by the Lord. So Jesus tells us we have to pray to the Lord of the harvest so that he himself will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, couldn't he do that without us? Of course. But this is his plan. This is his will, to move us to prayer and then to answer our prayers. Amen. So he raises up preachers. And in chapter 10, verse 7, we read, "And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Christ is the Lord of the solution, and he says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, because that is the solution. He wants us to pray for the fulfillment of the solution to the needs of the world. Therefore, pray ye, all of us as the church and as individuals, we need to pray for this specific thing. Pray ye that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, as we read in 38. This is our first responsibility, prayer for the sending. We know that without Christ, we can do nothing, nothing truly good, nothing that fulfills God's will. He, by his Spirit, works in the heart of man, and then we can serve the Lord and honor him and walk in his ways, and we need him as well to work in the hearts of the hearers. Because we can preach the gospel in Chile or wherever. If God does not work in the heart of the hearer, what will happen? Nothing. We need him by his Holy Spirit, our Lord by his Holy Spirit, in the bulletin was mentioned about effectual call, and need that effectual calling to take place through the work of Christ in the heart by his Holy Spirit. So where does that come from? We pray. Remember how much our Lord prayed. How much more do we need to pray? This is your duty. Is he your Lord? Remember, Lord means ruler, governor. Are you governing your own life? Or is he your governor and ruler and Lord that gives you his command and you obey? Well, this is his command. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We need to all be doing that. And I believe, thinking about this more and more, we see it's God's will in the sanctification process among us and in us as his church to give us Christ's mind, this mind that was in Christ. As the Apostle Paul says, let this mind, the lowly, humble mind of a servant that was in Christ, be in you, that became obedient even unto the cross. So God's will is that his mind, the mind of Christ, would, by the word and spirit of God, remember my words, he says, are spirit and they are life. He sends forth his spirit and his word, and that he uses to transform our hearts and make us his children. Make us those lower lights that have to be burning by the work of his spirit, that have to be full of love for Christ and love for God and seeking the glory of God in how we preach. Yes, the salvation of souls as well, but first the glory of God because we love him. That's the first commandment. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. Well, he gives us his mind, and that's part of his purpose in salvation, to save us and then make us like Jesus, right? He is the head of the church, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Praise God. And he is saving the body. We are his body. And it's his purpose to make us like him. First, this mind comes to us, and then that affects our actions. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, says Proverbs. Well, we think first, and how we think affects our lives and gets translated into the way we live. That's the way it ought to be, right? And really, that's the way it is when we think and meditate and have a good thinking process, guided by the Lord and His Spirit and His Word, then it leads to actions in our lives. Faith worketh by love. And so, the thought is this. It's God's purpose to give us as His church His mind, and by the Word we're conformed to thinking more like Jesus, like Christ, about the needs of the world and what is our responsibility and what we need to do. As He walked in the way of God's commandments, we now walk in the way of God's commandments, and we serve God. We take up our cross daily, or He teaches us that we need to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Him, and we serve Him. So we engaged in these actions. But how does that mind even become more, or come to be even more wondrously in us and taking control of our lives? I put to you that it's in prayer. When we pray, we get the mind of the Spirit reading God's Word, and then when we pray back to God, guided by His Spirit and guided by His Word, He transforms us so that we are praying more and more according to His will and receiving the answers that He wants to give. He says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" And as we pray, He will give us more of His Spirit, Christian growth, more compassion, more dedication, more life, more ability to do the things that He can use then in the lives of others to bring them to Christ or to edify the church. So I believe that's all tied in together. The prayer and this direction to pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest is part of this plan of sanctification of God making you and I more like Jesus. Second, there's a first back there somewhere. We need to prepare pastors and provide that which is necessary to the sending under the direction of our Lord. So the first basic idea is that we need to pray for this sending forth. But also we need to consider these pastors need to be prepared and ministers of the Word of God and teachers of the Word and so on. So we need to be concerned about the preparation of pastors. And I put to you that that's a part of what you're doing here. You're trying to prepare Christians for all walks of life in the school. And in the Sunday school as well, to serve the Lord. But also there needs to be specific preparation for ministers of the gospel, which are so needed. And provide that which is necessary to the sending of ministers in the churches of our own country and also missionaries that will preach the gospel in other places. All this under the direction of our Lord. Okay, the preparation of future pastors and the provision needs to be under the direction of our Lord. And we have the example of Christ. Right after He said this in chapter 10, He calls unto Himself the 12 disciples, and we have them named. He appoints the 12 apostles to be sent forth ones. And all of chapter 10, He spends preparing them with this discourse of how to, what to do. Then we saw in chapter 11, He continues with His own preaching and teaching. The word apostles means, in the original, sent with a commission. They were commissioned and sent forth. And look, we know they did miracles and so on, and He gave them power for these things, to cast out unclean spirits and so on. But look at verse 7. When He gets to the list of what they need to do, the first thing He mentions is, "As ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand." First and foremost, they were to preach the gospel. They were to preach the truth about Christ. They were to preach the Word of God, what God had taught them through the great prophet. This was their main task. Not the healing. That was secondary. The main task was preaching. Just a quick word. This is perhaps more necessary in Chile, South America, and other places. A lot of times they collect the offerings and the tithes, and much of it gets used for the building and so on, which are important and great blessings. But the tithes, they are not principally necessarily for the church building, but to maintain the pastors, to maintain those that preach the word, so that they may concentrate on the ministry of the word of God. Like in Acts chapter 6, where they appointed the deacons so that the apostles could concentrate on the ministry of the word and prayer. And those that are sent forth. I've had situations there in Chile where they sent forth a missionary to a distant city, and then there were no funds to help and continue the support after a few months. Well, in chapter 10, verse 10, the last part, we read, the workman is worthy of his meat or his sustenance. The workman is worthy of his meat. And the laborer is worthy of his reward in 1 Timothy 5:18, where Paul is speaking to Timothy, a minister, about the church. We need to provide for the pastors. We need to provide for the needs of those that God calls into the ministry of the gospel, and also for their preparation. It's appropriate that there be a recompense. In Chile, again, and the mission field, I think maybe in other situations, it's perhaps quite common for ministers and pastors to need to work a full-time job or some other kind of work in addition to the ministry. But it's very difficult to pastor an entire church in that fashion while also working a full-time job. Well, together with the sending by the church, there has to be a commitment to sustain the servant of the Lord. And praise God, you know, I'm not saying this for my own sake. The Lord has been abundant in blessing, and so I want to make that clear. God has always provided what we need, what we've needed to continue in the mission field. And we praise the Lord and thank the Lord for that. Like I said, I'm not saying this for my own sake. I'm mentioning it because we need to pray for the raising up of laborers and also provide for that and then be ready to support and help financially those that are sent by Christ and sent by the church, because he sends through the church. As Paul also says to Timothy, they who labor in the word and doctrine, let them be counted worthy of double honor. They who labor in the, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. There are those that God calls to labor, to toil, to be involved in this with their entire life. And the church needs them, and the world needs them, and we need to do what we can to support and provide for them. I know you are doing that. Don't stop. Go on. Continue on. So congregations provide maintenance for the gospel ministry. In 1 Corinthians 9:7, Paul says, who goes a warfare anytime at his own charges? Who plants a vineyard and eats not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? So Paul was indicating to the Corinthians that they needed to be involved in the support of their ministers and of the apostles and so on, and provide. He had a right, although he didn't charge them. They needed to provide for Timothy and Titus and the others. I want to just do a little further application as we get close to wrapping this up. Recognize the great necessity of laborers prepared to preach the gospel. That's first. We have to recognize the great necessity of laborers prepared to preach the gospel. And then pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. This is our duty. This is your responsibility. We all need to be praying that God would, that Christ would send forth laborers, that he would raise them up and send them forth. And he does that through the church. So recognize the need of the gospel, of your neighbors, as we mentioned, of your colleagues at work, of the cities around you, the countries around you, and all our country here as well, and the world. We have to recognize the need of the gospel. The greatest need of the world is men well prepared and sent to teach the gospel. If you have abilities, gifts in this direction, or maybe some gift not fully developed yet that can be further developed, consider the call of Christ to serve him in the ministry of the gospel. And consider preparation to that end. Pray for the sending forth of laborers, of ones that will do the work. And recognize the importance of prayer in all of this. This is kind of a model that Jesus gives us here. It's basically a model, a pattern to be followed. Pray, prepare, provide, call, as he calls his 12 apostles and sends them forth. Recognize the importance of prayer for the progress of the gospel. The church moves forward on its knees, right? The advancement of the gospel, the growth of the church, which our country so much needs here, is dependent upon your prayers and my prayers as the church. We must pray. The prayer meeting is one of the most important meetings of the church. I'm glad to see you're doing it as well on the Lord's Day. And recognize that it depends upon the sending forth of Christ. Everything depends on his sending forth. Therefore, we have to pray to him. It's not enough to say, start the schools, seminaries, etc., and Bible institutes. He has to do the sending forth. So there has to be prayer to him, because he will raise up whatever's necessary and provide the godly men to serve him, and the godly wives, and the godly mothers to raise up a David Livingston or Jonathan Goforth or whoever. Praise God for homeschooling. I think it's such a gift that's been given to our nation. All depends on the sending forth of Christ. And might this have something to do with liberty as well? I put to you that it does. Yes, most definitely. If we think about foreign missions in particular, but even missions in our own country to other states and so on, other regions, how difficult could it become if the means of travel become more and more difficult and more shut? And liberty is restricted, and we have to stay in our own states or whatever it may be. We must do everything we can to preserve freedom of travel, to prohibit the closure of doors. There are forces in the world now that are wanting to install what they call vaccination passports, obligating people to digital IDs. We know they've been fighting this battle for many years in our own country. And the World Health Organization is promoting this use of electronic passports for the future. Now, I think it's soon to be that even to fly in the United States, there needs to be some kind of real ID in order to get on the plane. Well, all this is being promoted. And now it's injections, But once they have installed a sort of a digital ID, it could very simply and easily move to, oh, well, your reason for going is Christian missions? No, we don't allow that. We don't want that. So we can't think that it's just going to be injections that are required. If they are, I believe they've crossed the line when they are requiring things of the bodies, health treatments to be forced or obligated upon people, and what to think. You know, we have intrusions into freedom of speech in our country, as you well know, and in our world many times, and they're trying to tell us what to think. Really, only God has the right in these areas. Our bodies belong to Him, and our minds belong to Him. And so, praise God, we have a Bill of Rights, and we have a Constitution in our nation, and we have the Word of God, which is the supreme law for all of us. And I believe that those that are wanting to obligate to these sort of, what's the word, intrusions into liberty or reductions, totalitarian eliminations of liberty, have crossed the line already with these sort of things. In Chile, we had a problem with a sanitary passport, which was a piece of paper that you applied for online, but when the town or the area was in quarantine, you had to apply for a sanitary passport just to be able to leave the state or the region. There it's regions, but it's like a state. And in order to travel from one to another, you had to, for several months, fill in everything and declare that you didn't have a runny nose or whatever it might be. Also, the matter of obligatory testing, which was one of the reasons why we had difficulty traveling from Chile and getting onto our furlough. So we need to consider that we, as a church, need to fight peacefully, obviously, but for liberty for Christian missions. There needs to be a maintenance of liberty for Christian missions if they are a great necessity. What about for the people in the hospital? And so we need to pray for this as well. If we're moved with compassion, pray that God will maintain liberty in our nation and in the world. We ask you to please pray for Chile, something I didn't get to mention this morning. But they've considered and rejected one constitution, and now they're proceeding. There's going to be a vote as planned, at least. There's supposed to be another vote in December for a new proposed constitution. And there's real threats to liberty there. If this is a great necessity, then, as a congregation, provide for the preparation of laborers. Discipleship, like you do in the school, and ministerial preparation, as much as possible, we need to be thinking of for the future. Follow this pattern for the work that Jesus gives us here. Prayer and sending. Preparation and provision. I'm talking about what we see in chapter 10 as well, in terms of the preparation. First comes the prayer. Jesus sends forth, but he does so through the church, as the church recognizes the gifts of those that are called into the ministry. and maintain missions in your own surroundings. Your school is a mission. And when people come from outside to your church, it's a mission field as well, as the pastor was mentioning this morning. How many people think they're Christians, and yet perhaps they have never come to the Lord yet? So the gospel message is for everyone. And there is a mission aspect to any church. And of course to any school as well, especially Christian school. Maintain missions, therefore, in your own surroundings, like Greater Baltimore here. And one word to the unbeliever or two. If there's an unbeliever present, haven't really come to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, recognize the necessity of having someone who will preach to you. As Paul said, how shall ye hear without a preacher? You need to come and hear the word of God. God will give understanding when he pleases. He will open your heart and your cries for mercy bring you to Christ. But you need to open your ears and you need to be there to hear or be here to hear the preaching of the word of God as much as possible. So recognize the necessity of having someone who will preach to you. And when the doors of the church are open, come. Or if you're unable, then we have the online streaming as well. And place yourself, maintain yourself under the ministry of the word of salvation, because that is what the Lord uses to save and to sanctify. The new birth comes as the Holy Spirit uses his word to give us faith in Christ and repentance. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will raise up laborers, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for your holy word. And Lord, we know again and think upon again the great need of thy Holy Spirit, and thou art good shepherd, our good shepherd working in the hearts of every hearer. If there's some young man or older person that you would call into the ministry of the gospel, that you would do that work. We also pray for any unbelievers, that you would save the soul nearest hell. And Lord, that you would cause a fiery desire, a desire for the milk of the word to be more active, burning in the soul, a thirsting for the word of God. And Father, we pray that you would edify your church, that you would build up your church and guide us all in the way of compassion, in the way of Christ, in the way of prayer. And we pray to thee, our Lord, the Lord of the harvest, the one who's in control of all things and who will build your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Father, how we rejoice in that word. We pray that thou wouldst send forth laborers into thy harvest, for the need is so great, and we see the results of the lack of your word in our country and in this world. And we pray that you would have compassion in the midst of your judgments, in the midst of your anger with the wicked every day. Father, that you would continue to send forth your word and prepare men and women to serve you wherever you would have them to live and raise their children for Christ, to minister to their neighbors, even here in this area, or to go to a far place to serve thee, that you would raise up such that would be used to bring them in to a great eternity with Christ. And we ask for this work to be done, Lord, according to your mercies, Lord, according to your wisdom, and for your glory and honor. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.